When I began to prepare my talk for this evening, I turned to my list of documents on my computer and I typed in Mark 6. The result was not quite what I expected. It was a recipe for making scones, including setting the oven at gas mark 6. It didn't help me a great deal with my preparation. Many people view July and August as the time of year when you take a holiday, although these days many take holidays at other times of the year. But as I thought about the holiday season, my mind turned to Mark 6 and verse 31, where we read that Jesus says to his disciples, "Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while." It's a lovely verse, isn't it? Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. Our Lord expects his people, when they are able to do so, to be busy people, to be engaged in his work. But he also knows that they need times when they can rest, times when they can be refreshed, times when they can recharge their batteries. And so we should never be apologetic taking a break, for having a holiday. Here in Mark 6, Jesus and his disciples had reached such a time. They had been through a hugely demanding time. In fact, in verse 31, we read it was so demanding that they had hardly found time to eat, let alone relax. And in addition, they had heard the distressing news that John the Baptist had been beheaded. You know, it often happens, doesn't it? That it doesn't rain, but it... Sorry, I shouldn't say in light of last week's experience here, should I? It hardly rains unless it pours, but... You know exactly what I mean. And so all these things had crowded in upon these disciples and Jesus. And so, having made arrangements, we read in verse 32, "So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves." Janet and I love lakes and mountain holidays. And last year, we had the enormous joy of going and spending a week or so with a lady who I baptized in Tring, and her husband and two children, who now live on the side of a mountain in Switzerland. And it was lovely. We were able to go out from our little room onto the balcony, and down the mountain we could hear the cows with their bells, and there was not a sound of an engine, and it was really idyllic until we walked along the mountain road and met a snake. But it's just wonderful to just be away and to relax and to find times of refreshment and to recharge one's batteries. But have you ever had disappointments on holiday? Hands up if you've ever had a disappointment on holiday. Some people don't seem to get them, but sometimes some of us do. I remember Janet and I going up to Yorkshire, and we were entering Haworth, and we hadn't booked anywhere to stay, and we decided we would do B&Bs. So we went into this first bed and breakfast we came to, and he had a room, and we took the room. Well, it looked clean, and so we'd travelled a long way, we were shattered, and we just wanted to crash out somewhere anyhow. So we took this room. What we didn't notice was in the corner of the room was the water tank. And so any time anybody in the B&B washed their hands, went to the loo right through the night, this tank emptied and filled up again. And it was an absolute nightmare. Needless to say, we didn't stay any more nights there. Or perhaps you've had some interruptions to your holiday. I remember just before going on holiday in 1978, we had the sad news that one of our daughters, daughter Bev's school friend's dad, had died. And I was asked, quite unexpectedly, if I would conduct the funeral. And we were holidaying on the Essex coast, and so we decided that, because we knew the family, that we would come back and conduct the funeral. And I remember a member of the church in Tring cooking us a lovely midday meal before we made our way to the crematorium. But it was an important interruption, wasn't it? For the sake of the gospel and for the sake of contact with that family. And in these verses, Jesus and his disciples had an interrupted holiday. As I mentioned a moment ago, the days leading up to their short break had been demanding days, as Jesus had sent them out on mission on their own for the first time. It had also been a distressing time, as they had had to come to new terms with the news about the death of John the Baptist. And so a short break away from it all sounded ideal. But the scriptures tell us that many who saw them leaving recognized Jesus and ran round the lake to this solitary holiday destination that Jesus had chosen for him and his disciples. And what's more, they spread the news as they travelled, and others joined them. And by the time they arrived, a large crowd had gathered. And Matthew adds that many who were sick were brought to Jesus as well. How did he react? How would you have reacted? How would I have reacted? Verse 34 tells us that Jesus had compassion on them, that he saw them as sheep not having a shepherd. And then, as the day drew to a close, the disciples of Jesus has made what seemed to be an eminently sensible suggestion. When they came to Jesus and said, you know, it's getting late. These people are hungry. Send them away so that they can go into the villages and buy some food. And Jesus turns to them and says, you give them something to eat. By this time, there is this enormous crowd, including 5,000 men. And Jesus says, you give them something to eat. And then in verses 38 to 44, we have an account of a great miracle as Jesus fed these people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Now, although Jesus and his disciples were tired, I notice here that Jesus put these people's needs before those of himself and his disciples. And I find that a challenge, but also an important lesson to learn. One thing I discovered as a Christian minister was that I was never off duty. Not even when I was on holiday. In fact, some of my greatest witness opportunities have been on holidays. So much so that at one time I said to Janet that I ought to become a missionary to package holidaymakers. The opportunities are enormous. I remember on one occasion arriving at a holiday destination, having taken a last-minute package holiday. And because you're part of the holiday, you're part of the group. And sitting down with this group, or some from this group, around the swimming pool on the holiday location we were at, and just chatting in normal, everyday conversation. And I said to this man who was sitting there, "What do you do for a living?" And he said, "I'm a fish and chip merchant." And his response was, "Well, and what do you do?" And I said, "I'm a Christian minister." And I thought, that's a conversation stopper, isn't it? But it wasn't. He then turned to me and he said, "You know, I've always wanted to ask a Christian minister this." And out came a question. And Janet and I and him and his wife sat and talked for 3 hours beside that swimming pool that Saturday afternoon. It was a wonderful opportunity for conversation. I think I shared with you what happened as Janet and I set off on a flight for Malaga 2 or 3 years ago. How a lady sitting beside me turned to me and said, "I would love to know the Lord." And so we had this wonderful conversation about the Christian faith. We're never off duty, not even when we are on holiday. In fact, that's true of all Christians. We cannot take time out from being a Christian. When we're on holiday, we don't say, "Well, you know, I'm not going to be a Christian for a week." We can't do that if we're truly the Lord's people. I'm just grateful that the Lord knows my limitations. And he knows all of our limitations and will never expect us to do more than we can cope with. But whether or not we are on a holiday, the Lord may give us opportunities to show his love and to share his grace with others. And as we do so, we can learn from these lessons, these verses this evening. And firstly, I want to point out that Jesus showed his love and compassion to these people at the point of their need. He did this on a number of occasions. He was attending a social gathering, a family gathering, a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and there was a problem. And he met the needs of his people. He met these people at their point of need. He was a guest in the home of Simon Peter, and his mother-in-law was sick, and he healed that woman. He healed a paralyzed man. He stilled the storm. Peter tells us in his letter that Jesus has left us as an example that we should follow in his steps, and we too should reach out with his love to people at their point of need. Now, having said that, that's a difficult one, isn't it? I don't know whether you're like me, but I seem to be bombarded with phone calls and letters from people in need, asking me to support lots of wonderful fundraising activities, to support the homeless, the hungry, the lonely, those suffering different diseases, and so on. Now, I'm not talking about them this evening. I know from what I've read in the papers and heard on the television that some people are very vulnerable to this kind of approach. And if that's you, then just approach it wisely. Talk it over with somebody. You may choose to ignore those appeals. If you do respond, may I suggest you do so prayerfully, that you decide how much you will give to charitable organisations and stick to it. Otherwise, it can lead to all sorts of problems. But I'm talking more about people that the Lord brings into our path and responding to them at their point of need. As the Lord strengthens and enables us. But notice secondly that when Jesus showed these people his love and compassion, it was unconditional. It was quite unconditional. He didn't say to me, well, if you join me next Sabbath in the temple, I'll help you. Didn't say that. All 5,000 men plus women and children were given food to eat. And we see this time and time again during the lifetime of Jesus. He never placed a condition on his love and compassion. In other words, he never asked for a payback. And if we're followers of Jesus, as we have the opportunity and are able to help and reach out to others, let us do so with unconditional love. As the Apostle Paul says to us in Galatians 6 and verse 10, as far as it depends on us, let us do good to all people, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Of course, we hope and pray that these people will see more than our love, because we want them to see the love of Christ at work in us and through us. But even if they are quite unresponsive to anything we say to them about the love of Christ, we are to go on loving them. And then thirdly, notice that Jesus' love was a costly love. It had been a difficult time. He was tired. His disciples were tired. It was getting late. They were desperate for a rest. But nevertheless, he made the effort and reached out in love and compassion to these people. And he set us an example of going the extra mile. And if we are disciples of Jesus, let us be prepared to do the same. And as we do so, as I said earlier, we can rest assured that the Lord knows our limitations and will never expect us to do more than we can cope with. It was a costly love, but nothing compared with the costly love that he showed us on the cross when he died to save us from our sin. And then fourthly, we should notice that whilst Jesus was full of compassion and would go the extra mile, he did not allow people to take advantage of him and become irresponsible. And so when they came again, he said, "You've come for bread," in John's Gospel. as far as possible, as far as they're able, people should take care of their own everyday needs as responsible people in our world. And nor should we intervene when there are families capable of meeting those needs. However, when we are faced with real need, let us warmly and generously respond. But what catches me most of all is my fifth point. Notice that our Lord's act of love and compassion provided him with an opportunity to share the good news, the gospel, with these people. When these people came back for more, Jesus told them how he could satisfy a far greater need than the one they had. It was around the time of the Jewish feast of Passover when Jesus performed this miracle. It was a time when the Jews remembered God rescuing them from slavery in Egypt. As God led that people to the promised land, he fed them with manna, food to sustain them on their journey. And Jesus used that story to teach these people how he could satisfy their greater need when we see this story developed in John's Gospel. John's Gospel, chapter 6, as well. And what did he say to them? He said, as the manna had come down from heaven to meet their physical need, he had come from heaven to meet their greater spiritual need. John 6, verses 32 through to 35. And whilst the manna sustained them and gave them life for a short time, he had come to sustain them, to give them life forever. He had come to provide the means by which they could be forgiven all their sin, by which they could be reconciled to God and receive eternal life. Even death itself could not separate them from his love. Again, John 6:34, whereas the manna satisfied in part, he would satisfy them completely. And whereas the manna was limited to the Israelites and anyone travelling with them from Egypt to the promised land, this great sacrifice that he made for the sins of his people is available to all people, everywhere, in all generations, and anyone at any time who comes to Christ can find in him total satisfaction. Jesus' act of love opened the door to share the gospel with others. And that can be true for us as well. It was just a thing anybody would do. I was sitting on a train going down out of Liverpool Street to Stowmarket to a funeral, I think. And in the carriage with me on the train was this man who had been unexpectedly discharged from hospital. And he was quite worried because he'd been unable to contact his daughter. And I said, well, has she got a telephone number? And he said, yes. I said, well, can I ring her? Would you? And I just took out my mobile phone and I rang this daughter and he spoke to her and arrangements were made for her to pick him up at the station. But then we just began talking. And it just led to a natural conversation about the Lord. So let's follow the example of Jesus. Let's ask him to fill us with his love and compassion. Let us reach out with love and compassion to others at their point of need. Let our love and compassion be unconditional. Let us be prepared for love and compassion to cost us. And let us also remember that Christian love and compassion can open the door to share Christ's greater love and compassion with others. And one final thought. We can share the love and compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ individually, but also collectively. Jesus and his disciples together met the need of this great crowd. Sometimes we have an opportunity with other members of our family to help others. Sometimes we have an opportunity as a church fellowship to help others. Sometimes we have an opportunity as a church in fellowship with other like-minded churches to help others. And in 1 Corinthians 16 and 2 Corinthians 8, we see a collective response from the churches of the New Testament to take relief to needy Christians in Judea. And it's good to see that happening here as this fellowship joins with others in reaching out to needy Christians in the Philippines, supporting organizations like Caring for Life. But as we do so, and make our gifts in the name of the Lord Jesus and for His glory, let us pray that these gifts of love will open the door for many to see the greater love and compassion of Christ, who freely gave His life to save His people from their sins and to give them eternal life. Amen.